Now to tell you, you're listening to WEFT, Champaign-Urbana, listener-sponsored, volunteer-operated radio. My name's Paul Muth. That was news from Neptune. And it's time for CU Progressive News, which will cover the Women's March, also something about the Black Poetry thing I was talking about earlier, I think, and local events and stories, it says here. So this will bring us up to Union Edge, and I believe Brian will be in to do continuity on that today. Thanks for listening. Opinions you hear are those of the speakers.
There as breaking news and never correct the record once it's done.
You are listening to WEFT 90.1 FM Champaign, Illinois. Welcome to CU Progressive News, bringing the many voices of your community. The views and opinions you will hear in the next hour are solely those of the speaker. They do not necessarily represent the views of this station, the board of directors, staff, or anyone affiliated with WEFT or Prairie Air Incorporated. This program is produced in the studio of WEFT at 113 North Market in beautiful downtown Champaign, Illinois. We are indebted to the members of WEFT who have for 35 years provided the infrastructure for independent media in Champaign-Urbana.
All right, so I am going to start getting into some speeches from the Women's March that took place last Saturday. That was Saturday the 21st. It was the day after the inauguration of the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and it was really, as far as I could tell, a response to that inauguration, saying that the rights of women will not be denied. These are human rights issues, the right to health care, the right to choose what someone does with their own body. All these things were addressed, and I believe very rightly so. And so I'm going to start with a speech given by Carol Ammons. Carol Ammons did speak here in Champaign at Westside Park. I don't have video of that, but very quickly after that, she raced over to Springfield where she gave another speech, and I do have that courtesy of Facebook Live, I guess. It's a Facebook video here. So here is Carol Ammons giving a speech in Springfield during the Women's March.
The same page. I wanted to make sure that some of us recognize the contradictions of what's happening in Washington, D.C. Some of us who really understands, and I want to make sure that we define, because we got some teachers in the house, right? We need to define the word contradictions. That word simply means that there's a combination of statements, ideas, features, and actions that don't align with the American people. And that is called the inauguration of Donald Trump. But we want to go on and make sure we understand what these contradictions actually mean. They mean that there is a desire by the corporate to take over our democracy. And some of us who are standing today say, hell no. I think I said that correctly, because oppression does not require pretty language. We desire to fight back against the oppression of the Wall Street billionaires and millionaire class. That is why you're standing here in Springfield today. That is why they're standing in Chicago today. That's why they're standing in Baltimore and every other city in this country and in the world. People are responding to oppression. There's a story that I have to tell of my great mentor. My great mentor taught me about Fannie Lou Hamer. And Fannie Lou Hamer, who many of you may not know, I encourage you to get to know her. She was a farmer in the South in Mississippi in the 60s. And Fannie Lou is not credited with what she should be credited with, organizing and making sure we have the right to vote. But Fannie Lou Hamer went to the Democratic National Committee in 1962-63 and encouraged and fought and urged them to allow black people to not only register to vote, but have representation in that DNC in 1962. That's Fannie Lou Hamer. Why do we tell the story of Fannie Lou Hamer? because it is going to require the goodwill of all of these people to get together and respond to the Trumps of our day. Democracy can be taken over and turned into mobocracy if we're not careful. That is what happened in Alabama in the 60s. That is what happened in Mississippi in the 60s. And what we see now in the corporate structure of a Trump administration, they want us to fight each other as opposed to uniting. And we will not do that. So what I would say is a message for us today, and I think this message is very clear in the city of Springfield today, that we will not be silent. We will not stand aside and allow you to divide and conquer us the way you did in the last presidential election. Yes, they used the poor white against the black. Yes, they used the suburban against the rural. Yes, they used the black against the LGBT community. Yes, they used the Hispanic needs against the... We're not doing that anymore. This is the end of that. Today is our birth of a new democratic system. Let me just say this in closing. Leadership today needs to be identified. They need to be identified by certain things. They need to be against violence against all of our citizens. Leadership today need to be identified by their response to the violence against their citizens. We cannot allow weak and self-serving representation to be the example of what leadership looks like today. We have to stand on our feet and be ready to challenge the corporate representation that has taken over our communities. We have to unite. We have to unite. We have to unite to fight back the fascism, the imperialism that is misleading our people every single day. And whatever Donald Trump does, we are ready to fight. I will tell you that we are all equal and we hold these truths. What truths? We hold the truth of liberty. We hold the truth of dignity. We hold the truth of our humanity to be given to us by our great God and creator of this heavens and earth. And we will not let anyone take it from us. So we will stand with the women of our generation. We will stand with the LGBTQ of our generation. We will stand with Black Lives Matter of our generation. We will stand with the undocumented in our generation. We will stand with the Muslims in our generation. There will not be a registry in this generation. May God bless you all. Thank you so much.
State Representative Carol Amons giving a speech at in Springfield during the Women's March. Okay, next we move on to a speech given right here in Champaign. And this is a poem by Molly McClay and then a speech by Evelyn Reynolds. And there is some language used in here. I would say given the context, it is not indecent language, but there is some language used in here. So just be warned of that. But it is very powerful language. It is very thoughtful language. And it is, I believe, the right language to use. So here is a poem from Molly McClay and then a speech from Evelyn Reynolds from the march on the CU Women's March from Champaign, from Westside Park, from the little gazebo in there.
Helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And I am so very afraid that we are going to stop thinking that what is now truthful, telling it like it is perpetuating bullshit information about someone's identities instead of taking the time to learn and listen to know someone other than yourself. That helping each other does not seem to be a core value when our public officials will leave millions of people without health care. That what is inspired is fear and bigotry and hate instead of hope and empathy and love. That it is somehow necessary for my students to read and hear as they walk to class, build the wall, feminism rapes, maybe now they'll get rid of all the fags, only to also be told that they don't need safe spaces, toughen up, get ready for the real world. That we will never again be kind. Why is it so unpopular to be kind? When I hear that someone doesn't want to be politically correct, I wonder if they think it's just an inconvenience. When my students tell me things like, I'm afraid my family will get deported, I get misgendered multiple times a day, I can't walk through a department store without being followed by security, I can't walk down the street without fear of being catcalled, I can't go to the bathroom without fear of being killed, as though one's genitals are the end-all be-all or anyone's goddamn business, as though my body is public property to spit on, as though you actually believe a woman should be treasured when you talk like she is meat for your consumption. When I am afraid that someday soon I will no longer be able to tell a student what happened to you was sexual assault because our highest public official called the same thing locker room talk. When I am a survivor and every day I fear walking on the campus where I work, the downtown that I love, the place where I am most myself, because I don't want to be groped, because in men in another college town not so very far away are running around doing that to women like me and to women not like me, calling it trumping. And when all I want is to keep my students safe, you want someone to tell it like it is? I'll tell it like it is. Because even though I am a queer woman and scared as hell, and being white and cisgender means I am less scared than many, and that is not okay, because feminism without intersectionality is bullshit, I refuse to believe that our words are no longer truthful, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind, because every day I see evidence that they still are. One of my students wrote sexual assault statistics on her dorm room door whiteboard. The words, no means no, only yes means yes, and I believe you. Another told her best friend from home that using gay as an insult is not okay. She was so afraid to say something and so grateful she learned how. One of them radios the bouncer when he sees men being aggressive toward women from the booth at the campus bar where he is a DJ. Another called the police on his peer who was hitting his girlfriend. Despite being much less powerful in size or social status, he did not back down when he was told not to call. And another left his fraternity when they would not stop with the jokes about gender and race and rape, despite his efforts to stop them. When I could not uphold the values of the organization while remaining in it, he said. One is starting her internship at the National Network to End Domestic Violence in D.C. Even though, as a woman existing at the margins of many identities, every day she fears for her safety, she is there anyway. One takes his knowledge and his advocacy into the middle and high school classrooms of this town, making sure each and every child knows they are worthy of love and respect. Dozens of my students answer calls for the rape crisis line, telling survivors in our community that it is not their fault. And one student fights back by existing because she did not get to decide to share her body when it was photographed without her consent. And now she gets to take that power back by teaching others about consent and posing nude on her own terms. This is just a smattering of the nearly 400 stories I carry on my heart daily from the nearly 400 students I have taught over the last 4 years. Students who teach workshops, students who teach friends, students who teach family, students who teach me, students who listen, students who love. You want me to tell it like it is?
Yeah.
To say whatever you want to say does not stand with me. It does not stand with us. It will not stand at all. My students and I, we will stand up. We will intervene. We will advocate. We will support. We will believe. We will listen. We will be intersectional. We will take the perspective of another human being, and we will honor it.
Yeah.
You've heard the words I've used. And maybe you'd be surprised to hear this, but they are, in fact, politically correct. They're correct because they're about doing what's right. And you better believe they are political. Thank you.
Molly!
Thank you, Molly. I want to give a quick shout out to Christopher's Jewelry. All of our speakers received very fancy safety pins, thanks to them. So we really appreciate them for helping out. We also want to remind everyone that there is a post-march program at Cowboy Monkey starting around 1:30 where we're going to be talking about healthcare. There are people passing around purple flyers to help keep America covered. People are going to be talking about immigration and gun control. Please stick around for that. Cowboy Monkey, there will be volunteers there to lead you the way. And now I want to introduce a speaker that I'm very excited about. Evelyn Reynolds is the director and co-founder for Black Lives Matter Champaign-Urbana. Please welcome her to the stage.
With the Black Lives Matter chapter locally. I don't direct it. I organize. I am the co-founder of that chapter. But it is a chapter led predominantly by Black women. And I'm a part of a network that is led predominantly by Black women and Black queer women and Black trans women. And I'm a part of a movement that is also led by Black women and Black trans women and Black queer women. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak here today. None of today's speakers can fully represent the array of magnificent women in our community, many of which don't hold public positions of affluence or prestigious titles, many of whom are disregarded because they are poor and without degrees. Many women that are not here refuse to speak Imperial English and use inflammatory language because they live inflammatory lives. Woo! Women transcend titles and labels and organizations. Those just happen to be things that our capitalist patriarchal society has selected as our most notable qualities. And that's because it furthers that capitalist patriarchal agenda. But who are we as thinking, feeling human beings? As we stand here en masse, lifting up messages of feminism and woman empowerment, it somehow feels disingenuous to me. Women allowed this very march to be largely planned by men. Women neglected to stand up for themselves or other women as important questions were asked by participants who wanted to ensure that this march was as inclusive and intersectional as possible. Women gave the A-OK to speaking at a bar that has created a drink called Nasty Woman in our honor, when we know that alcohol is a key factor in most cases of rape and violence against women. Where is the grit and gall of Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, Jane Addams? Individuals who recognized the intricate ways in which their sex assignment intersected with their race and their class and their sexuality, and the various ways that they were oppressed because of them. We talk a lot about feminine oppression from men, which is real and active always. But what are the ways that we oppress one another, women? I'm looking out into this crowd of hundreds, maybe thousands of white women who claim to be in solidarity with Black women today. But white women are often the very purveyors of racist aggressions against Black women. Where is your support and solidarity when Muslim women are getting their hijabs pulled off and being spat upon? Did you rise up when 270 Nigerian schoolgirls were kidnapped and disappeared? Did you cry out when over 16 trans women were murdered last year. No. It is white women who fail to acknowledge me in the grocery store line while greeting the person before me and after me. It is white women who follow me around retail stores with questioning glances at my purse and my pockets. It is white women who chose white privilege over gender in the last presidential election. And it is little white girls who are often the first people who call little black girls niggers. So you are also my oppressor. Therefore I ask, who will stand up for black women and girls? When the dust settles and the crowds and cameras disperse, that is when we need you. That is when your true self is revealed. I'll end with a quote by Bell Hooks. The process begins with the individual woman's acceptance that American women, without exception, are socialized to be racist, classist, and sexist in varying degrees, and that labeling ourselves feminist does not change the fact that we must consciously work to rid ourselves of the legacy of negative socialization. Yeah. Peace to you all. Peace.
So there was Evelyn Reynolds, a co-organizer with Black Lives Matter CU, and I'm going to do a little Black Lives Matter PSA right now. Black Lives Matter is doing a hygiene drive from January 30th to February 10th. Black Lives Matter CU will be collecting donations of different hygiene products for Courage Connections, and Courage Connections helps people who are dealing with domestic violence and help give shelter to women who are without shelter. And so they are collecting menstrual cups and pads, socks, toothbrushes, toothpaste, coconut oil, and shea butter. And there are different locations and dates. You can go to Black Lives Matter Champaign Urbana on Facebook, and you can see all of the details. There will be collections at the Independent Media Center on January 30th and February 6th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be collections at the United Muslim and Minority Advocates in the Illini Union on January 31st from 2 to 4 p.m., February 1st from 2 to 4 p.m., February 7th from 2 to 4 p.m., and February 8th from 2 to 4 p.m. There will be collections at the Bruce Nesbitt African American Center from January 31st to February 2nd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and from February 7th to February 8th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And there will also be collections at the Women's Resources Center on campus February 3rd from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. and February 10th from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. So I am thankful to have Black Lives Matter in our community, not only for Evelyn Reynolds' speech, which was very informative to me as a white feminist. It was something that I definitely needed to hear, but also for doing things like this hygiene drive for Courage Connections. And I've got one more speech I want to get to here. This is Lucia Maldonado. She is the student liaison in the Urbana School District. I've heard her speak at many a town or a city council meeting and Urbana School District meeting, and she gave a fantastic speech at Cowboy Monkey after the march. So here are her words.
People who know me know that I'm very quiet. I'm really too much for this song. I apologize, but I'm going to read multiple times. I am an immigrant, and I am always going to be an immigrant. Thank you. I came here some years ago with, like many other immigrants, empty-handed. I have just a few dollars in my bag, and I have one kid on each side, and I just came without any idea what I was going to, what I was getting myself into. It was very difficult at the beginning, but like, you know, there are millions of other women who are in this country and came here in the same conditions. And after all these years, it's still very difficult for me to say where I am from and to answer that question, because I am from Mexico, and I'm always going to be proud to be Mexican. And I'm very proud of what I do here. So people say that your home is where your heart is, right? And my heart just happens to be in two different countries. My story is relatively easy compared to the story of many other women, many other immigrant women, especially undocumented women, who actually had to risk their life in order to get here. And many of them carry their kids with them when they go home. When they take that step of leaving their home country and moving to a different country, they know very well that there is no going back, and that they're probably going to spend the rest of their lives living in the shadows, and living without rights and fighting for every single thing they get. And most of them know that their kids are going to have to do the same. I am an immigrant, like I said, and maybe some, many of you are not, but your rights are also my rights, and we both have the same opportunities, and we are looking for the same opportunities, and today we're here demonstrating that we have the same right to stand up, to speak up, and to fight for what we believe. Woo! Solidarity and unity. Isn't that what we all want? Just be united.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that we're fighting today? As we move forward, I hope that our steps reflect what matters most to us. If we truly want unity, we need to get to know each other to understand each other better.
Absolutely.
So how are we going to do that? I have an idea, and it starts with asking you a favor. Please don't believe everything you hear in the media about immigrants, especially about undocumented immigrants. Not all undocumented immigrants are from Mexico. It's not true that only criminals are being deported. There are many parents, innocent parents, that are being deported every single day for minor traffic violations. All immigrants pay taxes. I know somebody in Washington who doesn't do that, but we do. Immigrants abuse the system. That is not true, simply because they do not qualify for any benefits, any federal benefits. Our kids, any immigrant children, undocumented immigrant children, do not qualify for federal assistance to pay for college. So after high school, the parents have to pay for their education. They have to pay full price for their education, and that is really hard. So immigrants work very hard. They do a lot of good things, and they contribute to the economy. But you don't really see that on the news very often. If you really want to know us, please take a step outside and meet one of the immigrants in your community. We have some right here, so you can start right here. We work out next to you at the gym. We shop where you shop. Our kids are actually helping your kids to learn the Spanish, because now we have dual language programs. Thank you very much for asking. Please recognize that recognize the immigrants in your community. The server at your favorite restaurant, the cook who made your favorite meals, the ladies that you see translating at the hospital and working at the hospital, the bilingual secretary at your school, the lady who keeps your office clean, the clerk at the social service office, and the cashier at the store. It takes a lot of courage to be an immigrant. A simple gesture of demonstrating to that you appreciate what they're doing will go a long way. So, I mentioned immigrant women before, and they are the real reason for me to be here today. Undocumented immigrant women are the real heroes of this story. Many of them have forgotten the principal way of pursuing happiness,
because the moment they decided to move here, they changed that principle to pursue safety and a future for their children. I'm sorry. They risk everything every single day, and they wake up every single day afraid, thinking if that's going to be the day, the last day for them to see their children. Because deportation and family separation is very real, and it happens every single day. Can you imagine just every single day of your life waking up and looking at your kids and not knowing if that's going to be the last day you see them? Many of their children learn from very young age, that one day they can go back home after school and they're not going to be, and their chances are they're not going to find their parents there if they were picked up by immigration. Can you imagine one of your kids that are very young and you have to explain to your kids what could happen and what they need to do? Immigrant kids are learning that, and they need to learn that to be safe. I'm sorry, that's difficult for me. If some of you or some of the people you know are asking why people don't just get in line and why they don't just get legalized and get their papers in order, the answer is because they can't do that. That process does not exist. Parents, undocumented parents with young children, can't ask for legalization. That line doesn't exist. There really isn't a way for undocumented immigrants with your children to get documented. So, muchas gracias a todos los que están aquí. Es un honor para mí poder hablar con la gente sobre esto. Y es muy importante que nos escuchen, que nos vean afuera. Si no nos ven, si no ven la dificultad que tenemos, es más difícil que nos apoyen. Tienen todo mi respeto y la única razón que yo estoy aquí es por todas ustedes mujeres que yo sé el miedo que tienen y cómo trabajan duro por sus familias. So, muchísimas gracias por estar aquí. It is our community, and we can become one. Immigrant women may not qualify for some of the rights that you are going to be fighting for, but if you need us, we're going to be right there next week. And I hope that you can be thinking for us, because we all matter to you. Volunteers are passing out brochures, immigration forum brochures. We would love to have you. We are fighting for to benefit the lives of immigrants in our community. Thank you.
So that was Lucia Maldonado at the Cowboy Monkey after the march, the Women's March Champaign-Urbana that took place on January 21st.
You are listening to the weekly pre-recorded program, See Progressive News. See Progressive News is a collaborative effort. We are asking you to be a part of our collaboration. We need assistance for news readers, news gatherers, writers, researchers, fact checkers, calendar coordinator, and production assistants. Training will be provided, no experience is necessary. We also welcome stories. Whether you have an hour a week or an hour a month, we welcome your participation. Email weft90.1@gmail.com to give us feedback, story ideas, or to find out how you can be a part of See Progressive News.
This is Sandra Otten with CU Progressive News and the CU Progressive Calendar. On January 29th, Sunday, this coming Sunday, Ready to Get Involved, the People's Agenda Level Up Organizing Meeting is for you. Ready, building teams, taking on tasks, moving the agenda forward, then this is where you want to be. There are all levels of involvement for People's Agenda supporters to get involved. This event is especially for those who have indicated that they have time and desire to engage in organizing and planning. They'll be building focus work teams and setting tasks for the next month. Level Up, Sunday, January 29th, 2 to 4 p.m. If you want to get involved with planning the People's Agenda, that's going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway Avenue in Champaign. There's an upcoming film series that starts out with a film called Forgiving Dr. Mengele. The first film in the Channing Murray film series for 2017, the questions is asked, would you forgive a war criminal? A survivor of the Holocaust, Eva Mose Kaur has asked to forgive more than most. Film viewing with discussion following, co-sponsored by a social action committee, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana-Champaign. For more information, visit wef.org/PSA to get a link to the Facebook event. For that event, that's happening on Thursday, February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. There's another film coming up there called Renewal. This acclaimed film begins with a multi-week series hosted by the Channing Murray on spirituality and the environment. Be sure to come and experience and learn about the diverse faith perspectives represented in Champaign-Urbana. This is co-sponsored by the Echo Justice Collaborative, Faith in Place, the Social Action Committee of UUCUC. For more information, again, visit the wef.org/PSA page to get a link to the Facebook event for that film, which is being viewed on Sunday, February 5th from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. Urbana celebrates First Fridays, and one of the things that they're doing this week is having a poetry crawl. So on February 3rd, all over Urbana, there will be events that are part of the poetry crawl. At the IMC, as part of that First Friday event, they're hosting Evolution of Black Voices, a night filled with Black artistry, love, and culture dedicated to highlighting Black excellence at the IMC, hosted by Shaya Robinson and Wolf Thomas. For more information, go to wef.org/PSA, and you will find a link to the Facebook event. That's on Friday, February 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Independent Media Center in Broadway. But Imbibe Urbana's First Friday is happening all over Urbana. There's a FOIA event also at the IMC that doesn't take place until, that's coming right up. That's Saturday, January 28th, Fun with FOIAs workshop with Brian Doliner and Sarah Lazar in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Freedom of Information Act. It will be a workshop Sunday, January 28th from 7 to 10 p.m. hosted by IMC journalist Brian Doliner and Sarah Lazar that will give you CU community members access to the tools required for filing their own FOIAs or Freedom of Information Act request so that you can know what public bodies are up to. That's Saturday, January 28th from 7 to 10 p.m. There is a workshop also at the IMC on solitary confinement, a workshop about the destructive effects of solitary confinement in prison, led by some of those who have experienced it. This is upcoming on Friday, February 10th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's hosted by the Prison Liberation Collective based in Chicago, and speakers will include Brian Nelson and Gregory Koger, who have both spent extended time in solitary confinement, as well as Alan Mills, an attorney who fights for the rights of those incarcerated. Friday, February 10th from 7 to 10 p.m. For Sandra Auten, CU Progressive News.
All right, so I am here talking with Shaya Robinson
And we are going to talk about a couple things happening at the time of this recording. They're happening next weekend. The first one that I want to talk about is the evolution of Black voices, poetry for Black History Month. So what is this event and how did it come about?
Actually, Brian Doliner, who works at the IMC, kind of found out what I was doing with Speak Cafe, really enjoyed what he's heard about it, and reached out to me and also another poet, or should I say artist, Wolf Thomas, about putting something together. And he was just like, I wanted to do it during the poetry crawl. Like, it's kind of whatever you guys want to come up with. So we were all in a thread together trying to come up with, you know, something that is inclusive for everybody, but also because it's the beginning of February, kind of incorporating Black History Month into it. And mm-hmm. that's how we came with the name. And it's kind of like the evolution of Black voices then and now. So it'll be kind of some poetry that is back in the day. And then we'll also have, of course, local artists that are the now aspect of it. So I think it'll be really cool.
So are there going to be people reciting, like, is it going to be mainly original poetry, or is it going to be a lot of poetry that people just enjoy that they've heard from other artists?
Well, what we've come up with is we've actually got a list of artists, and they're all going to do original stuff.
Cool.
And then we'll open it up maybe about 20 or 30 minutes to the audience if they want to perform anything, kind of like an open mic style at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So then that kind of gives people a chance to be able to perform, whether it's original stuff or if they want to read one of their favorite poems. I was thinking about maybe doing something from an artist, not sure yet who or, you know, what direction I'm going in with it. But I think that if we have time, I'll probably add something in there as well. So.
And I saw that this was part of Urbana's First Fridays, which is a thing from Imbibe Urbana, where they're trying to get people kind of out on the town in Urbana, enjoying all the great things happening in Urbana. So this is happening Friday, February 3rd, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the IMC, which is at 202 South Broadway in Urbana. So was it Brian that had the idea of tying this whole thing into this poetry crawl where other poetry is going down around downtown?
Exactly. He wants to create IMC as a space for any sort of arts, whether it be, you know, rappers or singers or poets. He's really wanting it to be a socially conscious space, just kind of a safety net, I think, for our community, for people to go and express themselves. And so he's really opening up the IMC to anybody that wants to do something creative. So he was really like reaching out like, hey, do you want to do this? And of course, I'm always willing to do anything for Brian. So I definitely jumped out on the opportunity, especially like just with poetry in general, because mm-hmm. I love it so much. And because there's so many great artists in this area that anytime that there's a chance for them to kind of show what they're capable of, I'm always there kind of rooting in the front. So
cool. And I know you're really in touch with the poetry and the spoken word scene here in town. So I was wondering maybe if you could share some of your favorite artists, either locally or from anywhere, just some of your favorite poets or spoken word artists.
I think a lot of my favorites are going to be some artists that are in town, just because I do a lot of open mics and a lot of poetry scenes, and I'm kind of more of like the underground artist type mm-hmm. of girl. So mm-hmm. Coco Harmon, which I've seen her evolve a lot. Tubby Zalango, like we've spoke about before. He's from Decatur. Tyslin Jamila, she's originally from Chicago, but is now in Champaign-Urbana. Aaron A. Plus Wilson, he actually runs a poetry event once a month. He'll have one coming up this Sunday at the Iron Post in Urbana. So if you mm-hmm. guys want to check that out as well. But yeah, just a lot of kind of local artists, I think, is going to be probably my favorite. Yeah.
And you're saying that you host a lot of these type of events. I know that you do Speak Cafe. You did that all last semester. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy hosting these events? Is it fun for you?
It is. My first year, I was a wreck. I was so nervous. Because I'm used to going up there reciting my couple of minute poem and being able to go sit down, but now I'm having to host something, and it's completely different than anything I've had to really do before. So uh-huh. It was really nerve-wracking, but I think I'm kind of coming into my own when it comes to this, and I'm really getting excited about it. And I get the help of Sunny Turay and Black Students for Revolution with, you know, providing the music, but also having them come in and bring a socially conscious aspect of it as well. So I'm definitely grateful for the Black Students for Revolution and Sunny Turay for helping make Speak Cafe just really kind of grounded in that sort of a thing, because there's a lot of poetry that, you know, talks about love and it talks about, you know, all different types of stuff, and we want to try to keep it in a socially conscious effort. We don't mind if you talk about love, we don't mind if you talk about all, you know, unicorns and rainbows and all of that stuff, but we do want to keep it grounded there, because right, especially right now, it's a important to talk about. So,
and the next Speak Cafe is coming up pretty soon as well. That's going to be Thursday, February 2nd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Krannert Art Museum. And are you going to be hosting that all semester, like
yes,
you did last semester?
We'll have one a month. So this one will be this February 2nd, and then the next one will be the first Thursday in March, which I believe might be like the 3rd or something like that. So yeah.
And are you still, yeah, I'm sure you've experienced just dozens, maybe even hundreds of different performers. Are you do you still get surprised by the amount of talent that comes out of the Champaign-Urbana scene?
You know, no, I'm actually not. Like, Champaign is really close-knit, but they're really creative. And because I've been doing this so long, it's really cool to see even just the transition from some of the older artists that have been doing it for a while to the Rantoul High kids that come this last semester. I get really excited when they come because they bring a new, fresh kind of a excitement to it. Yeah. But then they also get to learn from some of the older artists and they get inspired by that. And it's just kind of like a mix of everything because it is a community event. We want people to be able to bring their kids. That's why I say no cursing, no sexually explicit lyrics or anything like that, because we want it to be a community event. We want people to be able to learn from each other, whether you're 100 or, you know, one. So, yeah, but I'm not surprised at all, because this has always been a really creative space. And it's really cool because a lot of people are really coming together right now, even just with the music. Like, I went to a rap thing last week, and it was really beautiful to see how everybody in there were very respectful of each other, but then they also just really was able to give it their all, and it was really fun event. So it's cool to see kind of where Champaign-Urbana is with the arts right now.
And you're organizing these events, you're hosting these events. Are you still going to be able to perform during these events, like the Speak Cafe? Do you still plan to perform at these?
Yeah, I try to make sure that I give enough space for all of the artists to be able to perform, but I know that a lot of people want me to. So every now and then I'll do a poem or two. Kind of just depends on the mood of the room. Sometimes I plan on not performing, but then somebody does a piece and it's like, oh, I have something really similar to that, and I'll throw it in there. But I try to give the artists room. But I still, of course, my friends are like, please perform. So I do. I do.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about the evolution of Black Voices Poetry Night for Black History Month, which is taking place February 3rd at the IMC in Urbana from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then also Speak Cafe, which is going to be happening every month. And the next one is February 2nd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Krannert Art Museum.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Sandra Auten with CU Progressive News. According to the ACLU website, a 22-year-old Urbana resident unlawfully arrested and jailed for burning an American flag last 4th of July filed a federal lawsuit yesterday seeking to have Illinois' outdated flag desecration law declared unconstitutional. Brighton Mellett was arrested and detained for 5 hours in July 2016 after he burned a flag to express his concerns about racial discrimination and other injustices. Photos of the event were posted to Mr. Mellett's personal Facebook page, and he was arrested and held even though the Supreme Court of the United States has recognized flag desecration as protected speech since 1989. His quote, "I hold the opinion that open dissent is the highest form of American patriotism," he said in a prepared announcement in the lawsuit. "It was a frightening display of irony that on the 4th of July, I should be taken from my workplace to sit in a county jail for exercising this liberty." The text of his Facebook post with pictures of him burning the flag were as follows. "I am not proud to be an American in this moment. Being proud of my country is to ignore the atrocities against people of color, people living in poverty, people who identify as women, and against my own queer community on a daily basis." He concluded, "I do not have pride in my country. I'm overwhelmingly ashamed, and I will demonstrate my feelings accordingly. Hashtag arrest me." Well, he did get arrested. Again, according to the ACLU website, an Urbana police officer telephoned Mr. Mellett at work and asked if he had burned a flag and posted the pictures. Surprised by the police interest, Mr. Mellett explained that he had burned the flag and posted the pictures in a peaceful protest against the social ills. They asked him to take down the post. He refused to do so. The call ended. He went back to work. 30 minutes later, they appeared at his workplace, which was Walmart, and read him his rights and arrested him, escorted him out of the establishment in handcuffs, in full view of his coworkers and customers, taken to the Champaign County Jail, held for 5 hours in a cell with 10 other persons. Police would later suggest that he was detained in order to ensure his own personal safety. Quote, "There simply was no justification for Brighton to be arrested for his political statement," said Rebecca Glenberg, ACLU of Illinois senior staff attorney. "If police were concerned about his safety, they should have taken action against whomever they thought was compromising his safety, not against the person engaged in constitutionally protected speech. We're asking the court to strike down the Illinois law to ensure that law enforcement in Urbana and across Illinois know that this state cannot be enforced." So there is a statute in the Illinois law that does say that you cannot burn a flag, but of course it goes against the 1989 Freedom of Speech Act by the Supreme Court. So the lawsuit was filed against the four police officers in Urbana against Mr. Mellett, and that's what's happening now. Okay. According to the Quad City Times, a Republican state senator from Southern Illinois has introduced a bill that would make it easier for independent and third-party candidates to get on the ballot. The proposal from Senator Kyle MacArthur, a conservative from Lebanon, comes from after progressive Bloomington physician David Gill was removed from the last November ballot because he failed to collect the required 10,754 signatures needed. After challenges were filed against his petition, Gill was left with 8,593 signatures, less than the required 5% of the voters in the preceding general election. At the same time, Republican U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, the incumbent, who was also running for re-election, needed only 739 petition signatures, and his Democratic challenger, Mark Wicklund of Decatur, was required to collect just 733. MacArthur, who unsuccessfully challenged U.S. Representative John Shimkus of Collinsville in the March Republican primary in the 18th District, said he wasn't inspired by Gill's case, instead calling it common sense to have the same requirements for all candidates. MacArthur said he thinks it's unfair for independent candidates to have to collect more signatures than candidates from the established parties, and he added that some voters have a hard time identifying with the traditional political parties and should have other options. The number of signatures required to be on the ballot varies by office and district and is based on the number of people who cast ballots in previous elections. For example, in races for U.S. Congress, independent or third-party candidates in Illinois have to gather signatures from at least 5%, but not more than 8% of the number of people who voted in the previous general election for that seat. Congressional candidates from the two major parties, meanwhile, have to gather signatures from only half of 1% of the number of people in their party who voted in the preceding primary in the district. As a result, Gill was required to collect nearly 15 times as many signatures as Davis and Wicklund. It's not expected, really, that that bill will go far because Democrats and Republicans would have to vote for it. But I guess there's hope because at least it has been suggested by a conservative Republican. There's another bill that has been recently introduced. That is the Responsible Job Creation Act. Carol Ammons has introduced the bill in the State House that would improve working conditions for Illinoisans who work in the temporary job industry, temp jobs. The Responsible Job Creation Act could affect as many as 800,000 Illinois residents who are employed by temporary job agencies, primarily in manufacturing and warehouses, according to the American Staffing Association. Ammons says, unfortunately, in Illinois, people are suffering, are abused in hard, worn-down, temporary jobs, all with no benefits for their families, while direct hires at least receive a wage they can live on. The conditions for temporary workers are not the same. Workers hired through temp agencies don't undergo the same kind of safety training, are subject to sexual violence and racial harassment, and don't get the same benefits. The bill is designed to close the enforcement gap that many workers experience as they go through this process. Provisions in the legislation include requirements that staffing firms give 48 hours notice of schedule changes, mandate that they do not charge employees for the cost of drug testing, and that they provide transportation to and from job sites. They also mandate to give temporary workers the same pay and benefits as direct hire workers at the same location for the same work. Earlier, Urbana had proposed to add 5 new police to their force, but after pushback by residents who want resources to be used for social services that would address the root cause of crime, such as poverty and mental health, they have scaled the proposal down to 2 officers at about $96,000 annual cost per officer. Views on this are mixed, and those that are convinced that it is the right thing to do are persuaded in part by Police Chief Patrick Connolly's research that reports that Urbana in 2015 had the smallest police force out of 16 other mid-sized Illinois cities with populations over 25,000. The City Council gave their initial approval on hires this week and will conduct a final vote in the coming weeks. For CU Progressive News, I'm Sandra Auten.
You have been listening to CU Progressive News. The views and opinions have been solely those of the speakers, not of the sponsors, collaborators, station management, staff, or board of directors. Thank you.
You are tuned in to WEFT Champaign Community Radio for East Central Illinois. It is 11:58 a.m. Looks like we got about a minute to get rid of here, so I'm going to go over a PSA for something that's happening tomorrow. So on Sunday, January 29th, from 7 p.m. to midnight, Radio Maria will be hosting a community book swap. Radio Maria is at 199 North Walnut Street in Champaign. And so I guess they're going to be having a little book swap there. So that's cool. That's fun. Swap ideas, swap different books. And the best thing about it is that any books that are left over at the end of the night will be donated to CU Books to Prisoners. CU Books to Prisoners is a little operation taking place at the IMC in Urbana. They operate out of the basement there. And what they do is they get letters from inmates from various Illinois prisons. And these letters contain just basically wishes for different books, and depending on what books are in the little library that they have at CU Books to Prisoners, they will try their best to find something that will meet that prisoner's needs. And what this does is it lowers reincarceration, it lowers recidivism, and it helps with rehabilitation. So CU Books to Prisoners, a fantastic thing, and on Sunday 20,